Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's football season at all the high schools, the colleges, and the Cowboys are playing again.
I know it. Football season is my favorite season. You know, sometimes we can say, I think that's pretty much good. It's good for everybody. In Texas, it's kind of what we do. It's in our blood. But, you know, there's some people say, oh, my favorite season is fall or it's spring. Our favorite season is football season.
Well, you know, everybody loves football.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me. The homecomings are already started. The carnivals, all this, you know, is starting. It's funny. My granddaughter the other day wanted to go to the football game last Friday night. And now this is at the middle school. So I figured, you know, it's no problem. Just run her up there. There was not a parking place to be had.
What?
Because they'd moved it from the high school over to the middle school.
Oh.
And then they had all these politicians that were going to be there. So that, you know, there wasn't any way to get there. You couldn't even get to the football game.
Oh, my word.
And I don't remember it ever being that bad. We just, you know, there was no parking at all.
Wow.
And they said, do not park on the grass. They were all parked on the grass.
Of course they were.
They just didn't care.
No. I mean, you justify it. Say, well, there's nowhere else to go. Got to go here. Parking on the grass.
Now, see, I thought that you'd be in big trouble if you did that.
Well, yeah.
I wasn't going to do it.
No, because you never know how serious people get. You know, you park in the grass.
Yeah, I mean, they might be serious about that.
Yes. Handing out citations, yeah. Towing people. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. That's what I figured, that they would tow anybody that was in the wrong place.
Yeah.
But they were probably in there watching the game also.
They probably were.
I mean, you know, that's why the people weren't scared. They said, this first game, they'll be in there watching and we can do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we can get away with it because there's nobody home at the towing place.
And now the Cowboys start this weekend.
I know.
They'll be playing the Giants.
Yes.
And, you know, they made a few changes. You know, they sent the one guy to somebody else, traded him out.
Yeah.
But the last few years, I haven't seen anything they could do to win a ball game.
Oh, I know it. You know,
it's such a shame.
It is, especially when you go, you know, back from the Aikman dynasty and all that.
Yeah,
I mean, those were the golden days, you know, Jerry and everybody else, you know, that was, you know, at the helm. And it's just like, you know, we were like the kings of football for a while, you know, we owned it. And
that's right. And you remember Dandy Don Meredith.
I mean,
he was famous.
Yes.
There was just so many that were so great. And he couldn't lose a game. I mean, they were winning and winning and winning.
Oh, I know.
And what do you think finally happened? They just suddenly, they've not had a quarterback or a team that could win in how many years?
Oh, it's been a long
time.
We haven't
won a Super Bowl in what, 8 years, 10?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like, you know, after, you know, it's like, I guess the old guys kind of, not the old guys, but like, you know, Aikman, Jimmy, and, you know, that whole, you know, Emmett, when all that kind of like went away, things kind of started to, I guess, get a little bit maybe quiet. And so I don't know.
And Emmett Smith was fast.
Yeah. Oh, he was.
You know, he was super fast.
Oh, my word. And big and fast.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
I mean, all these guys. And Aikman, when he came, you remember that right after he did all this football, he started buying Chevrolet dealerships.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was wealthy. He was a poor kid from Oklahoma. And he did so well, he bought his parents' houses and cars and, you know, brought them right on up.
Yeah.
And I guess all of them back then were making a pot full of money.
Oh,
a lot.
I'm sure. And it's just, you know, the you know, football as a whole has just, you know, exploded as far as, you know, a revenue thing. I mean, yeah, back in the, you know, 70s and the 80s, yeah, there was plenty of money, you know, circulating around the whole league. But boy, it just seems like once we got into like 2000s and even like 2010, it's just the profitability. It's just, you know, costs of tickets has gone up. Merchandise has gone up. It's just, I mean, it's just this massive money machine. There's so much money in football. It's just crazy. You know, you look at even sponsorships. You know, those cost a fortune now. Whereas, you know, back when
that's right.
You know, back in the old
days,
the
ads are tremendous per minute.
Oh, I know it. Oh,
yeah,
my
it's
word.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, the Cowboys come out doing pretty good, then they start losing, and then nothing happens. They fizzle out.
Yeah.
And we're starting another coach deal this year, and I'd never even heard of the guy, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, just because I didn't know who he was.
Well, I'd say that means everything.
I just go, you know, I don't know. And then we've got college football, and that's big, really, really big.
Oh, my word.
They spend as much on that, I think, as they do almost in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because it's big.
It didn't used to. I mean, there's always been college football fans forever. I mean, it's never been a throwaway sport, but it just seems like the same thing there. It's just there's so much money that circulates in college football. It's just crazy what it's become. It's almost like they all between the two things they have almost like a license to print their own money. It's just cash.
That's right.
Oh,
and if you remember last year, we did a story on how many million. Was up for grabs at each one of these schools, and it was like millions and millions and millions.
Yeah, yeah.
That they were getting. And then the coaches were making a fortune, too.
Oh, my
Even
word.
In college football.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, I've seen a lot of people, not a lot, but I'm starting to see a trend where, because, you know, for a while we had, you know, players and coaches that would go from the field to the broadcast booth. Now I'm starting to see people go from pro football into college, because obviously, you know, you got Deion Sanders, you got Bill Belichick, who, you know, at North Carolina, I think they booed him.
Well, you know, he's got this girlfriend that's what, 20 years old?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really, really young, and everybody talks about that. And I don't know how good Belichick is, but he's controversial, to say the least.
Oh, my God. There was an interview a week or two ago where somebody asked him about that, and he basically told them to mind their own business. Don't worry about it.
He didn't want to admit the age difference and what it was looking like, did he?
Yeah.
Didn't want to talk about that.
It's like, what do you talk about?
Yeah, and you know the controversy this week at A&M, and they fired this professor, and it's a darn good thing they did.
Yeah.
As you know, it was doing all this theory on all these transgenders and what people were. And this girl stood up in class and said, "My religion prohibits me from participating in your deal." And she says, "And I don't believe the university knows what you're trying to teach anyway." And he was fired as soon as the powers that be heard what he was in there teaching the kids.
Yeah.
And all of them knew it was wrong. All this gender stuff, they knew better.
Yeah,
and that girl just stood up and said, "You know, I can't be a party to this."
And walked out.
They fired him, and they should have fired him long before. But nobody knew what he was teaching in there.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you wonder sometimes, you know, when people are teaching things, I'm sure they have to have all of their plans and whatnot approved ahead of time. Or maybe they don't. I don't know. I assume they
should be. I mean, if they're teaching crap like that, they need to be, you know?
I mean,
because it's just really wrong.
People could go rogue and teach, you know, who knows what, you know? There's no telling, you know? Teach people how to, you know, imagination doesn't even go there, so I can't even think of a bad example. But you never know, you know? So who knows? Maybe people go rogue.
Well, I guess they do sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, then this week we had Charlie Kirk, who was gunned down.
Oh.
You know, he was head of Turning Point. I really liked Charlie Kirk. I thought he was a great young guy, and he was doing so much good with young people. And for an assassin to have done this, I mean, this guy had to be a complete nut job. But nobody's safe anymore. You know, if you're a celebrity or you're out in the public, you're not even safe.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, some people, you know, I've heard from a lot of people actually who have said that, you know, they're hesitant to go out in crowds of people now because you never know what may or may not happen. You know, whether it's a speaking
engagement. Well, I think you have to really be cautious. I don't think going out in a big crowd is a good idea.
Yeah, it's probably not. We used to go to concerts and games and all kinds of things where there was people all over the place. And now, you know, it's causing people to second guess if they want to go out.
Well, they're rethinking, you know, if you're out in a big crowd and there's a celebrity there or anybody important, you know, you don't know what these people might do.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're off their rocker, and they may just decide to, you know, end somebody's life right there next door. You could be right next to them.
Yeah. You know, I still remember that Vegas shooting there was a country, there was a concert of something. I think it was Jason Aldean. I remember that, you know, from a few years ago.
Yeah, and he gunned down a bunch of people.
Yeah. I mean, you never
everybody
know.
Was shocked that he got up there with his guns and nobody ever saw it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure he had them hid in something, had to.
I think
so. Everybody was shocked about that. Nobody was prepared for that either.
I know it. It's a very different world now than it was, you know, when we were children. I don't know that I'd want to be a kid growing up now. So it just seems
tough because you've got all these people that are off their rock or they're mentally ill, and they'll kill all of us if they get the opportunity.
Yeah, you may be right about that.
You know, the Catholic Church, you know, those little children were in masks.
Oh, yes, I saw that,
you can't
too.
Can't forget about that.
I know it. And it's just like of all the places that you would think that
you should have been safe. I mean, absolutely safe.
Yeah. And he was outside. He didn't even go inside. And so nobody even knew anything. I mean, my word. It's just people they've come up with new ideas and you know, new ways to do harm to people.
Bad things.
Yeah.
So we've just got to, you know, everybody needs to be careful and be mindful if they're in a crowd or mindful where they're at.
Yeah. Yeah, at all times. And these are just the ones we hear about. I know there's, you know, tons and tons that we never even, you know, that never even make the news or our feed or anything like that. So,
well, I'm hoping that all these people that are mentally ill, that we can keep them from getting guns.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole deal right there. Somebody said today, you know, we need to lock them up. Well, yes, we need to lock them up before they do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you know, when you know that they're mentally ill, do something about it.
Yeah. So
before they start opening a gun.
You would think, but you know, we're getting in that place where, you know, it's a very hot issue, that's for sure. So
and then we've got all the new laws in Texas. I hope all of them are good.
I don't even know.
Well, we've got a bunch of new laws, you know, and they said we're going to get all this discount of taxes, and yet, you know, everybody's sending out notices they're going to try to raise taxes. They know the discounts don't happen till this month, so now they're going to try to raise taxes to get it back up. Are they out of their mind?
It's out of their mind. Reminds me of when you go to the store and they say everything is 50% off, but the month before, they raised the price of everything 75%.
So. You caught on to that, right?
Yeah, I caught on to that.
Yeah, they have to raise it where they can give you the discount.
Yeah. And then they make more money when things are on sale than they do otherwise.
I'm afraid that might be the honest truth.
That's how they get you right there.
And then we've got this Sharia law deal, and we have passed a law where it's against the law to have Sharia law or anything else in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, we're not of that persuasion. We're just honest, hardworking people, and we want our laws to reflect our values.
You know, I remember a day or a time when you just went to work, you did an honest job, worked at the same company for, you know, 30 years. And
yeah, and you retired and minded your own business.
Yeah. We didn't need all the laws and all the regulations and all. People just did the right thing and everything was fine. And, you know, you worked, what do they say? You work hard and save your money and all that. And those days are gone, I think. I don't remember.
And, you know, a lot, we've got several clients that are moving this month. We've got one that lived out here in Azle. They had moved to Azle, and they're moving to Nebraska.
Really?
Why would anybody go to Nebraska? It's cold up there.
Yeah. I mean, that's a little bit chilly.
It's a little chilly in Nebraska. Hmm. And the other one moved to Granbury. We've had a lot of people retire and move to Granbury. You've got the lake. You've got Pecan Plantation. You've got a lot of things, you know, small town country things. Got a lot of good places to eat. They've got two art studios that carry really good original art.
Ooh.
So that's there. Then you've got the two little theaters that have live performances.
Neat.
Let's see, what else do they have? I can't think what else, but there's a lot to do in Granbury. It's just a long way from any major city.
It is. And you know, some people love that. You know, the fact that it's kind of like, I guess, out there, less metropolis-like. And then other people are you know, think, oh, my gosh, it's too far. If I need to, you know, go someplace quick, it's going to be a long way until I get to a heavily populated city. But, you know, I mean, there's something to it. You know, people, when they retire, there's all kinds of places that people like to go. You tell me all the time about people that are, you know, have retired or fixing to retire.
Yeah, they want either fish,
yeah,
or they want to play golf. You know, and you can play golf every day, almost in the wintertime, even in Granbury.
Yeah.
They've got some beautiful golf courses. But they've got that town lake, which is really nice.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of things going for them.
Yeah.
But it's just a little quaint country town. It's an old, old city. Has that beautiful courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they've got a lot of old things you can go and look at. And remember, we talked about that farm, and I don't remember the name of the people that we talked about, and they've preserved that house and everything around it.
Yeah.
For people to see. And so they've got a lot of things like that, too, to go see.
Yeah. I mean, it's just it's a quaint little quiet town. It's got some history. It's got things to do. To me, I mean, it sounds like idealistic to me. I mean, I mean, yeah, it's
well,
nice.
Well, apparently it is, because I've went there a lot of times. when I'm going to Glen Rose and everything to see the animals, you have to pass through Granbury to get to the animals.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I know all about it. I've been there many a time.
You just make a pit stop.
But it is a long way from anywhere.
It
so
is.
You have to be content with, you know, just whatever they have.
Yeah. I kind of like it. I did. To me, it's what, just some peace and quiet, and you know, just.
Well, you would get that peace and quiet, small town atmosphere.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of little small restaurants, little breakfast places.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all kinds of neat little things.
Yeah. And what I like is the fact that it's one of those places where, you know, you stay there and, you know, it seems like everybody knows everybody and, you know, you go over.
Oh, they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people have lived there all their life.
Yeah. And you know, you go to Bob's restaurant and Bob's behind the counter and you go to, you know.
That's right. And you go to the two little theaters for a performance. They have great little theater deals. I know we used to drive down there and we'd go to some of their shows, and they were great. They had some great shows.
Yeah. Yeah, they really do. And I mean, it's idealistic to me. It's almost picture perfect. It reminds me, I think, in a way, of times that we don't really have in the majority anymore. It's more of what
right. And
it
they've
used
got
to
the
be.
Little town square.
Yeah.
It's just as cute as it can be.
It's a great place. I mean, Granbury is one of those places that maybe people don't always think about retiring to, but maybe, you know, because people go down, you know, they'll head over to Corpus or they'll go to, you know, wherever else they go. And maybe there's, you know, it might be one of those things where if we talk about it too much, everybody will go there and it'll ruin all the...
It'll ruin everything.
It'll ruin everything.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. They'll ruin everything. And then you don't want everybody to find out where it's at, I don't think.
No.
I don't think that's a good idea.
No, I think we just ruined it for us.
That's so, right. Everybody's saying, oh, we'll go over to Granbury.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll retire there. And, no. You know?
On second thought, it's a terrible place. Don't go there. Wow. This is Your Money with Fay Bag, but your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And you know, the more I think about it, though, just about anything that anybody's ever looking for a place to retire, we have just about everything in Texas. You don't even have to go out of state to find it. So if you're looking for water, we know exactly where to go. If you're looking for, you know, green and crops and pasture, we know where to go. If you're looking for old churches, we know where to go. If you're looking for wine, you know where to go. It's like we have everything here. Cities, countries.
That's right. Then you've
ranch.
Got the peach farms.
Yes.
You know, all the food by the side of the road. And then you've got all the flowers. You've got the bluebonnets. You've got the tulips. The Indian paintbrushes.
Yeah.
There's something for everybody in Texas.
There really is, literally. And so, yeah. I mean, you can.
And then you can go and look at the battleship that's in the bay down there in Houston.
Yeah.
And it's got its permanent home now.
Yeah.
You know, they redid it. They needed some work on it, and they've done that. Yeah. But, you know, and when they made the movie, the World War II movie, they filmed a lot of it there because of the battleship.
Did they? I didn't know
that. I just read that the other day, that when they made the movie Pearl Harbor, they came back here to Texas and because they had to use that ship, and so they filmed a lot of it down here.
I figured that was probably just, you know, a Hollywood set and some trickery and
no, it
magic.
Wasn't.
Wow.
They filmed it in a lot of different locations, and one of them was in Texas.
I did not know that. That's kind of cool
yep.
to know. Well,
I thought it was.
Yeah, interesting. However, you know, we talk about all these great places to retire, but nobody's going to retire anywhere if they're not careful, and it takes a little bit of planning. You know, we talk all the time
that's
about...
That's right. You can't just jump up and do it. You've got to say... Okay, what'll meet our needs in retirement?
Yeah.
Now, I've got one fellow that he bought a ranch after he retired. I mean, here he worked all his life. But I know why he bought the ranch in New Mexico, to get away.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets away from the family and goes up there and stays 2 or 3 weeks at a time.
All by himself?
Yes. Yeah. And it's right next to the National Forest.
Oh.
And I think he has some land leased from the National Forest. Even.
Really? That's,
so that's
cool.
A good thing.
Yeah.
And I've got other clients that have homes up there, and they've just kept adding to them and making them nicer and nicer. And one has a telescope where you can see the stars and all that.
Oh, my word. I bet you can see stars for miles. And I mean, you know how it is.
That's right.
Stars here are very different than they are at other places just because it's so wide open. It's so it's just better. I don't know why. It just is. So that's magical.
Well, Texas is a pretty magical place.
that should be our new slogan. Texas, the magical place.
It is a magical place. I mean, when you think of all the things you can do and see, and remember, the fair is coming up.
Oh.
And we do that every year. We'll look and see who has the best and all the new foods that are added and who wins and who the top 10 is.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. That's one of my favorite ones that you do every year. That's the one that I look forward to because they come up with combinations that I, in a million years, would never even think of putting together the ingredients and all that. It just sounds
like
amazing.
Oh, yeah, they do some wild things.
Yeah.
And you know, another thing, one of the barbecue places that won big this year, I think they were number four or three, something like that, they're closing.
What?
And that's such a disappointment. Yeah. They lost the lease on the building. The guys told them they wanted to do something else with that building, and they don't own it. So they're losing it, but they have two other places.
Oh, man.
But this is the one that won.
I know it.
This is the one that everybody likes so much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy.
You can't buy that kind of press. It's just.
No, you cannot buy it. It was, they checked every barbecue place in Texas, and this was on the top 10, not the top 50. They started out with the top 50. Then they got down to the top 10.
Yeah. And those are those people that you were talking about that traveled the whole place, the whole state, went to every single place, and then put together a list, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they put
one.
The list together and told why they won and what their food was like. And, I couldn't believe they're closing.
I can't either. I just.
And they've been in business less time than anybody.
Yes.
I think they'd only been in business at that location 3 years.
Yes.
And here they won all this, for the best barbecue.
I remember it now. Yeah, you were talking about that, and we were both shocked that they did that well in that short of amount of time. I remember.
In that short amount of time. It was shocking. But, everything is moving. Nothing is standing still.
I know it. It's moving fast and furious.
That's
not in
right.
a good way. So, all right. Well, we better talk about some money before.
We better talk about making some money.
Yeah.
Where people can retire. If we don't talk about money, they might not could retire.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, life settlements. It's a big deal. A lot of people have life settlements with us. There's new people coming on board every month. We've got a lot of new customers waiting to get in policies. And the way it works is we bid on policies. If we get the bid, then we send out invitations to everybody to go in this policy for different amounts. It may be $40,000, it may be $50,000, it may be less or more. So, and then, of course, everything is handled by the trustee. We have a trustee for all money. When you open an account, it has to be opened at Nevada Trust, and they oversee your account at all times. So that's just a layer of security that we've always had. And when we look at these policies, we look to see how long they are, how bad the cancer is, how much treatment they've had, and how many months they have to live. All of this is important, and we work it all. And then if we make a decision to go in it, then we let everybody know, and they say either yes or they'll say no. If they say yes, they put up the money. It goes to escrow. Once we've raised the escrow, then we send a check to the people. Then we start on the legal part of it of buying the policy. So once we've bought the policy, then they just wait for it to mature. When it matures, we notify them. And then when it gets to their bank, we notify them again. So that's the way life settlements work. And we try to always make sure that the insurance companies that we're buying it from are A or AA rated.
And they're fast, too. You're not going out, 10, 15, 20 years or anything like that.
No, we're not going to do that. We try to get something that's 28 to 30 months.
Yeah.
And lots of times they have very low premiums. I saw some premium come in this week that was due, and it was very, very low, less than $100.
Oh, wow, really?
And we try to buy them with less than 1%. We didn't used to. Lots of times in years past, we thought they could deal with it. It was 2.5, 3. And we've come to the realization they can't. It's got to be very low. So we love it when it's less than 1%. But we'll do it all the way up to 2 because 2 is not much.
Isn't there sometimes, and I don't know what you call it, but like a waiver or something? What is that?
Lots of times there's no premium due. It's paid up. And then lots of times there's a waiver, like what you say, that you can get if you're real ill. If you have that attached to your life insurance policy, you can get this waiver, and it says, if you're ill, there's no more premium.
Hmm.
Yeah. And we love that.
Yeah, I mean, those are the ideal ones.
And then lots of times it can be converted to permanent life, and that sometimes has a lot of advantages because you know what the premium's going to be till the day you die. There won't be any premium adjustments.
And
then sometimes we buy some, and it's paid up. And that's really a blessing when it's paid up.
Oh, yeah.
You can go for it. You can put more money in it because you have no liability whatsoever. You have no guessing games.
Hmm. You know, I can't think of another type of investment where you know what you're going to make. You know about when you're going to make it, and the fact that, you know, because I guess then the maybe the third question is, if people try to poke holes in the investment itself and say, okay, where's the other shoe to drop? You know, what's the catch or whatever it is,
yeah.
You know, and there's really isn't one, because, you know, you're not waiting on something, you know, that you have no control over. It's not like the stock market where anything can happen out of the blue and all of a sudden the market will pancake. It's not like that. It's a life insurance policy, and when it matures, it matures, and it pays the full amount, and there's reserves on hand, and there's not any kind of wondering, well, gosh, you know, will they pay? You know, do they have the money to pay? Or, all that guesswork is gone. It's a completely well-mapped out type of investment. Is that a fair assessment of it? Or
that's right. And they know they have the risk. They know how many policies they've got out. They know what kind of reserves they have to keep at all times to pay these claims. So that's not a problem. And especially if you use large life insurance companies, you know, you don't want one from Podunk that's worth $500,000. You know, you want somebody that's worth billions and billions. You want somebody that's been in business a long time.
Yeah.
And the ones we use have been in business a long time. They're also owned by a Texas company.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah, there we go. Now you speak my language.
That's right. So there's a lot of good things to it. Everybody, when they come to me, they want to do a life policy. So we'll put them in some life policies, see how they like it. Then they usually bring more money in. A lot of my clients will just say, okay, Faye, I've got another $250,000 I'm going to put in.
You know, and that's, you know, when you put it like that and you start thinking about it, it's just like, if people are in some kind of investment, whatever it is, and it's working, and it's been working for year after year after year, policy after policy, market condition after market condition, all the ups, all the downs that you see everywhere else, and none of this changes, and they still want to increase and bring in more, that's a really big deal. It kind of goes hand in hand when people recommend and they say, you know, hey, I've been in this great, wonderful thing. I made all this money over the years. You should go talk to Faye. So when they vouch or they make a referral and somebody else comes over, I mean, that's kind of a big deal. Then both of those hand in hand, it speaks volumes because people aren't going to recommend something that's terrible.
That's right. And, you know, it's been going on a long time, and more people are getting into it all the time.
Yeah. And then there's the other, because we're talking about conservative investments. We don't want people to have to go back to work when they're 80 because something happened. They lost everything, the market crashed, whatever it is. We want to make sure that people have a good, solid foundation. They're ready to retire at the same level of life they were before and even thrive and even maybe make more. And so between life settlements, you've got that. And then you've also got annuities, which is another great option. What's the difference? What would you say is the main difference between the two investments?
Well, this is really for your income for the rest of your life. An annuity is going to give you steady income forever. And there's so many good things about annuities. There's so many choices. You know, I'm always telling you there's a lot of choices. And there is. There's 18 interest crediting strategies. There's 14 uncapped strategies that have no cap on them.
Really?
Yeah. And there's so many things you can do. If you want to add to it, you can add a lot of things. There's a fee, though, if you're going to add all these things. But you say, okay, I want it to cover nursing homes. Well, you get a rider, and it costs a little bit, but you put that rider on. And so you got that. There's just all kinds of things. And if you said, okay, I want to be able to get all the premium out after the third year with no cost, well, then you have a little fee for that. But if you want to do just a straight deal, it's now the bonus is 16%.
What? The bonus went up?
It came up 2 points. It's up 2 points.
Really?
So, you know.
Wow. I would have thought that was.
All, yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. That's the lead right there. Good
that's
Lord.
That's the lead right there. And that's everything that you put in it the first 3 years, you'll get that bonus.
Oh, my word.
So if you don't have all your money now, let's say you've only got $300,000 now. You put it in, you get your bonus. Then next year you put in some more, you get that bonus again, and the next year you get a bonus.
My
so if you
word.
3 years in a row, you're going to get that big bonus. And plus whatever it makes, whatever it makes. And there's so many strategies. If one strategy isn't doing as well, we change it and put you in another strategy.
Goodness gracious. And you can do like a, speaking of strategy, you can do a 1 year or a 2 year.
That's right. And a lot of people do 2 years. Most of my clients have not got used to that yet. So we're in really mostly one-year strategies.
Yeah.
But there's so many choices that you can do. That you know, they've averaged about 10% the last 10 years. Some years they didn't do that well. But then over an average, you can average it out, and it was 10.
Wow. Now that's.
And I look at, I try to look at all of them when they come in at the end of the year and see what they made, you know?
And it's just
we get a statement once a year. It locks all your interest in every 12 months.
And we're talking compound, so, right?
Yeah, it's compound interest. And it's not like if you're in the stock market, it doesn't lock in ever.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk about that, it never locks in.
You're
it's
out
just
there.
A day-to-day deal. Today it's here, tomorrow it's there.
Yeah.
But with this, it locks it in every 12 months. And you participate. Just like it was in the stock market. It's not in the stock market, but it mirrors the stock market. So if everything's going up, you're getting paid. Let's say it stops one day and the market just holds. Well, you hold. If it goes down, you don't participate in that either. You only participate in the ups. That's what makes annuities so great.
You know,
and they've been around 100 years.
That's true.
100 years. The first ones... just paid a flat rate. They still have some that pays a flat rate. You can get them to pay 5%, 6% for 5 years. But you don't have the chance to make the kind of money you're going to make if you go the other route.
Hmm.
You know. So it makes a difference. You've got compound interest. It's tax deferred until you take it out. You pay no taxes on this while it's growing unless you take it out. And then they have to pay taxes. But if you leave it in your annuity, it's all tax deferred.
See, now that's another benefit. It's just...
It is. It's got a lot of benefits.
Not only is it you know, tax smart, but it's money on top of money, compound interest. We were talking about, you know, bonuses that went up to 16, which is profit on top of profit. It's just how are more people not doing annuities at this point? I just
well,
don't...
a lot of them are. I've done quite a few annuities this month, and you can do a Roth, you can do a regular IRA, you can do a joint account with your wife. You can have an IRA for her, an IRA for you. There's all kinds of things you can do. Annuities are steadfast. They're conservative. The most conservative thing we do is an annuity.
Yeah, and especially the fact that people can ride the wave of the stock market without, and if that stock market wave crashes, your annuity doesn't. And just the fact that you're protecting your principal and you're holding it, you don't have to wake up in the middle of the night and wonder, do you have anything left? Because you know you
do. That's right. As long as you're in annuities, you're not going to have to worry and sweat it. You're safe, and you know your money's safe.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like a win-win. So now, it's no surprise to me that you've had a whole bunch of people come over and start getting into annuities. They've been so quiet, I guess maybe under the radar for so long, just because they don't have that whiz-bang, wow, look at me, I'm a shiny little object. You know, they don't have that. But, you know, if you want to make money, all that really matters at the end of the thing is what your spreadsheet looks like at the bottom. And with the new these, you just growing and growing and growing, and so yeah, it doesn't really surprise me that that people have really started to gravitate towards annuities.
That's right, because right now especially, people need to be conservative. They need conservative investments, and with reliable companies, and don't go out here with these companies we've never heard of, and then we hear about your sad luck. And there's no reason for that, you know.
Yeah.
Stick with something we know. And that we know is right.
Yeah, and you've done it for so long, you know it works, and it has time and time and time again. And that's the
beauty. And we've been in business since 2003.
Yeah, that's another big deal.
And we're an accredited business with the Better Business Bureau, have been for years.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of solid foundation involved with all of this, whether it's life settlements, annuities, you as an actual company yourself. I mean, every step along the way, it's just so well buttoned up, and so I guess there's a great history of success along the way. And so, yeah, it's not a surprise to me that people are coming over. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
We're going to do Bob Banner. He's from Enos, Texas. I wanted to do some of these famous people from Enos because I was so impressed with them last week.
The list just went on, and I was like, my jaw was on the floor, and I'm like, what?
I know, it's 30 people that are famous. And Bob not only was a native of Enos, he credits his hometown with providing him the opportunities to prepare for his career.
Wow.
In high school, he accompanied every singer in town. He played in high school band. He was part-time organist at the Presbyterian Church.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he did everything. And he credited the band director, Thomas Granger, as the mentor who gave him the biggest push to send him on his way. While he was a junior, he assisted Granger in writing and arranging the school alma mater, Maroon and White. And that song is still being used. It's been used since 1937.
Wow.
That's
incredible.
How impressive it is.
That's almost 100
Then he
years.
Went to SMU, and he arranged the Mustang Band, the Pigskin Review. He organized his dance band. He toured with the Interstate Theater's production of College Capers. And then after college, he served 3 years on a destroyer in the Navy, and he came out a lieutenant junior grade.
Really? What?
I mean, this guy went all the way.
Yeah.
And then he received a master's degree from the art department of Southwestern University, and he only liked 11 hours to get his doctorate. And he left.
What?
He wanted to pursue a television career in New York City, so he didn't get his doctorate. That's all he liked, 11 hours.
Wow. Talk about almost. Oh, my word.
Woo. So then... He's pursuing his PhD, and he was teaching radio courses at Northwestern, and he worked evenings in Chicago at a local television station, and it was the children's show, Kukla, Fran, and Ollie.
Ooh, really?
You remember that?
Yes.
And then he became director of Garraway at Large, and then the first deal he did was Fred Waring. You remember Fred Waring?
Yeah.
He asked him to join him at CBS as a producer and director of the Fred Waring Show. And that was in December of 1949.
Wow.
And so then, he in New York, he directed Animus, hosted by Alastair Cooke.
Really?
Yeah. And so then, he's on his way by this time. And as he goes, he just does everything in the world. And this was the golden age of television.
Oh, yeah, it was.
And he was one of the prime movers of your variety shows. He did the Dinah Shore and Chevy Chase show. He produced and directed it.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was the producer and director of Dinah Shore and Chevy Chase. He won 3 Emmys, 2 Christopher Awards, and 2 Peabodys.
Wow, for that show or for everything combined?
For those 2 shows.
Wow, cool.
I mean, that's how good this kid was. In 1958, he formed Bob Banner & Associates. His first production was the Gary Moore Show.
What? Really? His first?
Yeah. The first show.
Wow. Talk about coming out swinging.
He did. And the program ran for 218 episodes.
Oh, my word.
It won several Emmys, and including one for Carol Burnett because she was on there. Then in the 1960s, Carnegie Hall was targeted. They were going to tear it down. And Isaac Stern came to him and said, "Can you put on a performance and save it?" So he did a salute to Jack Benny, and he starred Isaac Stern and the Philadelphia Orchestra. Van Cliburn was there, Benny Goodman, and Roberta Peters.
Really? Wow.
I mean, this guy was on a string. Then it followed by another special, Julie and Carol at Carnegie Hall. He starred Julie Andrews and Carol Burnett.
Wow.
And they won 3 Emmys and the International Golden Rose Award.
Oh, my word. He's just, like, on a roll. My goodness.
And from 1975 to 76, Almost Anything Goes. Do you remember that?
I do. Yep.
And then Regis Philbin was a field reporter at that time. And then he does the junior Almost Anything Goes with Soupy Sales.
Wow. My word.
This guy became so famous, it's just amazing to me, coming from a little town in Texas and went all the way to the big time, won all these Emmys, every kind of award in the world, because he was a great producer, one of the best, I think.
I didn't.
But I can't believe he came from a small town, and he says the band director was the one that really helped him get started and to writing all these things.
Wow. You know, when we were saying, what was it, last week, that there's something in the water in Ennis that we should all go drink? Apparently so.
I think so.
Wow.
But can you imagine, he went to SMU, then went to Northwestern, doing all these things, and then he began his career in 1948 in television.
I was about to have a cow when you said he's like 11 hours away from his doctorate.
Yeah, he was 11 hours away from his doctor. And he went on to New York and worked on his PhD.
Wow.
I mean, this guy was so smart. And he said he would have never made it if it hadn't been for the band director who gave him all these pushes, you know, while he was in junior high. And he wrote and arranged the school song. It's still being used.
Wow. What was that, 1936? It's almost 100 years old, I think, from my math, if it's right.
In 1937. He said it's lasted since 1937.
Wow.
And then he arranged all that for the Mustang Band at SMU.
Jeez.
And he organized a dance band. He toured with Interstate Theaters of College Capers. And then he went to the Navy and did that, came out as an officer and a gentleman, and then he never looked back.
My word. And he's worked with, you know, like everybody, like huge names, and, you know, it's just, it seems like it's one of those things where it's just everything just kind of like fell into place, and then boom, 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 boom.
Everything turned to gold for him, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he won all these Emmys, all these different awards, Peabody's. And the Dinah Shore Show was the first one in Chevy Chase.
Yeah. My goodness. And then to put together the thing to save Carnegie Hall. I mean, my word. the names.
Yeah, they were going to demolish Carnegie Hall, and so he went to work on that.
Wow, the impact that he's had on, I guess, the entire entertainment industry is wide and far. And I'm just shocked that one person can I guess, make this much of an impact. Yeah, yeah, really. It's a bit shocking to me, especially considering where he started out, you know. And you know, it's kind of interesting that the band director is the one that fed him all this, and he's like, you know, you can. It just goes to show that, you know, how you start out and the influences that you have early on really can shape what you can do going forward, even later in life. And so,
yeah, but he started out kind of on top.
Yeah,
he
did.
Can you imagine the dinosaur and the Chevy Chase show? I mean, that was, I'd say that's right on up there.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't start at the bottom.
No, that's like hitting a grand slam your first at bat. It's crazy, you know? You're right. You know, the band director, when he credits the, you know, even back then when he was a kid, he credits him for encouraging him and to do all the things that he did. It set the groundwork, really, for everything else. And it was just...
Yeah. I mean, and he said he owed it all to Ennis, Texas. That's what he said. And he really did.
Yeah. I think we all owe something to Ennis, Texas.
That's right. I mean, all the kids didn't get in trouble. They came out all really on top.
Yeah.
Which is just shocking to me.
Yeah. I think I may need to go over there and take a drink or something out of the water in the creek or something, because I'll have what they're all having.
It was a neat story, and I'm going to do some others from Ennis because they've all got some great stories to tell.
Yeah, I bet. I know we kind of touched on it. I think it was last week. We were talking about 30 people coming from there is pretty impressive. But boy, you start digging down into each one, and man, it's even more impressive than I guess I realized.
And look how small a town it was.
Yeah,
little bitty town, little Czech town.
Yeah, you blink, you miss it. There
you blink and you miss it. But they've got so many neat things there. That it's just apple pie and Chevrolet.
Yeah. Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I wonder if anybody goes to retire in Ennis.
Well, I would think so. I mean, there's so much nicety out there.
Yeah. Be a part of some famous history. That'd be cool.
And I don't think there's but 20,000 people living there.
Oh, my word. That's perfect.
Yeah, I mean,
great.
It's just a perfect little small town. And you've got air. It's far enough away from Dallas, but you can still drive in if you needed something.
Yeah, yeah. It's drivable, but, you know, still far away that you can have some, I guess, kind of slow down a little bit, maybe.
That's right. Slow down and smell all those flowers out there.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's true.
All those fields of blue bonnets.
Oh, my word.
All those things.
Yeah, it's one of those places that you're not going to find anywhere else. You can't replicate it.
And I can't wait to find out about the other guys.
Oh, I know it.
That live there.
Yeah. This is going to be fantastic. It's going to be, I bet we're going to be more surprised as we keep going through the list of people.
Yeah. And I can't wait to do Ginger Rogers.
Oh, I know it. Oh, yeah. I forgot. See, there's so many. You see, I've already forgotten half of them. That's
yeah,
gonna be
and they're all
one.
darn famous.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. This is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to the rest, too. Okay, before we wrap, we were talking about the life settlements, and we were kind of talking a little bit about the premiums. And that's one of the risks. There's two risks involved with the life settlement. That's one of them, is that it may go over and people may...
That's right. It could go over. If it goes over, you have to pay the premiums. So everybody needs to know that up front. The other thing is, it is not liquid till it matures. Then the other thing is, you must be accredited to do this. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home. And that is a government regulation, not mine.
it's not mean Faye. It's the government.
It's not mean Faye, no.
annuities are not quite as, I guess, strict or rigid.
No, they're not as rigid. We don't have to check as many things on you. We have to check that you have income, you have to have emergency money. You can't put 100% of everything you've got into an annuity. But you can put a lot into an annuity where you will have income for the rest of your life.
I'm still shocked that the bonuses went up from 14% to 16%. I didn't see that.
I know,
coming.
And I don't know how long that'll last because I just got notice of it this week.
Wow. I know we were talking like at the end of last, like a year ago, that we anticipated that probably the bonuses might go away, and then they stayed, and they've been here for, you know, several months, which is great. But boy, going up was not on my bingo card for
and of
this
course
week.
The economy got better.
Yeah.
And that's, but I can always tell if the economy's up, the fixed rate will go up. If the fixed rate goes down, you know, the economy's getting bad again.
Yeah, that's a good indicator.
That's how I judge that.
Yeah. So it's a good time. And I would imagine probably with all this news now, you'll probably get even more investors calling up and saying, hey, I really want to come over. I'm interested in annuities.
That's right.
What can we do? So expect some more of those calls. But if people do want to get started, or if they just want some more information, whether it's annuities, life settlements, retirement in general, you're there to help. But people do need to call and make an appointment. So one last time, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.